Welcome to Remember Blank, the Patreon exclusive show where me, Mike, and Bless recollect some of our favorite and sometimes least favorite video game memories. You can be part of the nostalgia over at kindoffunny.com/rememberblank. This week's topic, one of them at least, is pulled right out of the games cast, and we're saying let's remember that game you can't believe came out. Of course, ladies and gentlemen, this spawns from the fact that against all odds, Dead Island 2 is a real video game that is out right now. If you don't remember, it was announced in 2014. Jaeger Development was originally hired to develop Dead Island 2 in 2012, but was removed from the project in 2015 and replaced by Sumo Digital the following year. Sumo Digital was also removed, with Dam Buster, an internal studio of Deep Silver, becoming the developers in 2019. That's a five-year gap from announcement to the ring, let alone the fact now you're talking about 9 years since announcement, and we are fucking playing Dead Island 2 right now and having fun with it. At least me, I am. Mike isn't playing shit.
I'm done. I'm not going back.
You're not going back?
Except for the stream Mario doing.
Yeah, I'm going to stream it tomorrow, co-op with Greg, which will be fun.
We gotta get
but, of course, we are jumping on PlayStation, so I'm restarting the game completely. But I do not think I will jump back into my Xbox save anyways anytime soon. None of my friends seem interested in that. I would only play with them if I was going to finish this all the way through. But yeah, I'm done.
You will not know who you voodoo then, bitch.
Exactly. I don't know who's going to take my blood, you know? I don't know.
I'll tell you what. I'm platinum in this, bitch. You wait and see.
Are you really?
All the trophies sunk today. I'm like, yeah, all right, there we go.
Oh, my God.
He's doing that.
I mean, the work's put in. At this point, it's, you know, we're past the point of no return, Bless.
Yeah, yeah.
I got the story done.
How many times have you said that about games, Greg? How many times have you said that about bad games?
You're enjoying Dead Island 2 that
much.
Not
a bad game.
Like, you're like, I'm
going
to play
3 out of 5.
You're enjoying it enough to play hours more.
So stick with me. Yes. Imminently, no.
Okay.
I'm in the same way, I've come back to Horizon for that platinum. I'm going to go back for God of War eventually. It's that thing of right now, no. Dead Island's window has already closed. We got Star Wars. We got Zelda. You got Advance Wars. Like, there's a lot of shit happening right now that unless we really turn it on Friday's stream.
Don't turn it on.
You're like, I will eventually platinum Dead Island 2.
Okay.
All right.
But yeah. But anyways, we're not talking about platinum. We're talking about games you can't believe came out. I cannot believe Dead Island 2 came out. But blessing, when I say remember that game you can't believe came out, what do you think of?
The year is 2016, and we're toward the end of the year, and a game comes out that legitimately, even upon the day it released, I was like, I can't believe I'm actually playing this game, and that game is The Last Guardian.
Ah.
Oh, okay.
Announced in 2007. If you know me, then you know I'm a Team Eco person. I really, really loved Eco. I adored the Shadow Colossus. It was one of my favorite games of all time. And like these games just like get everything that I love about video games, right? The atmosphere, the imagery, the like minimalism, the interesting take on puzzle gameplay. Like there's so much cool shit in the Team Eco games that, you know, really got me in. And I talked about in a previous week of the show that like for me, one of the games that floored me, that wowed me was Shadow Colossus.
Sure.
And so like that's a game that means so much to me. And I remember watching on YouTube the debut of The Last Guardian at, I assume it was E3. You probably remember better than I did, Greg.
No,
you don't remember.
I jump immediately to when Clement saw it when he went to see the NGP, which would become the Vita, the next generation portable. He went over there and got to see the game there, and we were all had a million questions.
That type of
the actual debut
review
of it, though, I could not tell you where the trailer dropped.
Last Guardian,
because that was like, you know, the fucking annual, biannual, anytime a showcase was coming up, Last Guardian will be there.
Yeah,
well, they got
it was like that.
E3 Last Guardian over there.
Oh, the project was first revealed in a full page advertisement in Famitsu, a Japanese gaming magazine, on February 14th, 2007. So yeah, it wasn't even E3, but I believe it was later on it got trailers.
We had that one screenshot forever of the chain going down the hole and like the thing there.
Yeah, and so for years and years and years, I was looking forward to The Last Guardian, and this is before I was super in tune to how video game announcements work and like how development hell works and all these things. And so years have passed and I'll still be checking for it and being like, where's this game? Like, I really want to play the sequel to Shadow of Colossus. And, you know, went away, started listening to Podcast Beyond. I started to understand that like, oh man, I might not ever see this game before. There are articles from IGN that like, all The Last Guardian's been canceled. And then that was refuted. And that was the whole thing. But I remember one of the coolest E3 moments. And this is one we talked about recently too. Was the E3 where we got the trailers for Final Fantasy VII Remake, Shenmue 3, and then The Last Guardian was also there, and we saw gameplay of The Last Guardian, and for me it was like a miracle. I was like, oh snap, like it's back, I can't believe it. Come 2016, the end of 2016, I play it, and legitimately it was one of my favorite games the year it came out. I think at the time I would have called it my game of the year. After time has passed, I probably wouldn't anymore, because I think that was the same year as Overwatch, and I've gone back and played more games from 2016. I'm like, I don't know if that Last Guardian is in my top five, but it's still a game that means a lot to me, and it's a game that I would say holds up for in my heart as a special experience, but at the same time has enough going against it in terms of technical issues and frustrations in terms of trying to get your big bird dog creature to listen to you, that I understand why it didn't get as much love compared to how much I enjoyed it. But I still look back at it as a, man, this game hit me in terms of story, in terms of the relationship between your main character and I believe Trico is the name of the bird dog, your main character and Trico, how technically impressive that game was, just from the same way of, man, Shadow of the Colossus, I'm looking up at these big monsters and they have such scale and it's so cool. Trico struck me that same way, right? Not necessarily as big as the Shadow of the Colossus creatures, but just in terms of how Trico behaved as an animal, and like you felt like you're interacting with a real living, breathing thing, right? Every time it doesn't listen to you, every time you commit it to do something, right? Which kind of feeds into the realism as much as it does into the frustration. That's a game that really stuck with me. And it's a game that, like, to this day, I'm still like, man, that came out. Like, that happened. I waited for that game forever, and I played it, and it was what it was, and I enjoyed it. So, yeah, shout out to The Last Guardian.
Mike, what game can you not believe came out?
That was The Last Guardian right there. I actually have a fun one. I took this question a little bit differently, right? I think the cool part about asking these prompts is, like, how you think of it and what you bring into it. And for me, it was how I couldn't believe that World of Warcraft came out, right? The idea of what I had experienced all my life with Warcraft 3 and that RTS and the beloved Horde versus Alliance and all of the different races. And then the idea of being a young kid and going, oh my God, what is this World of Warcraft? We're playing an MMORPG where I make a character within those different factions, within those different races, and I get to experience World of Warcraft, or Warcraft the world, in a different way. Like, that was something special to me, where I look back and I think, man, how did that game come out? That is what I think of when we ask this question. Like, man, sitting there playing all this time, you know, 4v4 RTSs, and then you're going to tell me I get to be one, create that, and run around Azeroth with my friends in this giant open world where you're leveling up and you're grinding and you're getting different gear. You're seeing all of these different awesome created, like, enemies within the world and the world coming to life. That was pretty special for me.
It's funny, too, you think about that now, right? If you were to ask people about, oh, do you know Warcraft? They're all going to say, wow.
Yeah.
No one's going to, you know, there's very rare Gary Whitta is going to bring up Warcraft. You know, yes, and you'd be like,
exactly,
oh, yeah,
right?
Here it is, the RTS. That's what you mean, right? Change the game.
Change the game. And that's one for me. I'll always be chasing that dragon of StarCraft Ghosts, right? Like, I think that's that one. If you're a big Blizzard fan like myself, right, you think of StarCraft and what they did with Warcraft, right? And the idea of, oh, we're going to take that RTS and we're going to expand the genre. We're going to get into that world and make something different. And to hear the rumors at the time of, like, what is Ghosts, right? What can be this game really got me excited. And we've seen pieces of it, of course, come to light throughout the years of, like, this third-person over-the-shoulder action-adventure game where you are Ghosts, she's got the big sniper rifle, and you're having fun, like, It will always be my dragon that I'm chasing for sure.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, Dead Island is the prompt, obviously, for what brought it up. But for me, in terms of, like, a game that I was, you know, not talking about with Dead Island in the current moment, right? For me, Ghostbusters. Like, you know what I mean? Of, like, as a kid, right, who dreamed of a Ghostbusters 3, who called into the local Fox Morning News to talk to Harold Ramis from a diner and ask him if Ghostbusters 3 would ever be a real thing. For it never to happen, to give up hope on that for so many times, right, and then to finally get, like, Game Informer drops this cover and it's just the No Ghost logo on black. I was like, what the fuck? You know what I mean? And, like, tearing through that and then hearing about it and it's going and it's great and they demo for me at IGN and all this shit. And then, of course, like, you know, the company that has it goes out of business and then Activision won't pick up the license. And you're like, what is going on? Like, is this going to happen? Is this game actually going to get made? And sure as shit, it did, right? Atari came through and got it and put it out. I was like, holy crap, though, to be playing that was a surreal experience. And have the whole cast there, have all, you know, all the Ghostbusters there to lend their voices. That was insane. However, I wrote in for many of you to ask this, answer this question as well. Blessing, stop looking at the wall. All right?
Yeah, Blessing.
The wall's fucked up, Blessing. We know the wall's fucked up.
We know the wall.
There's nothing we can do about it.
Listen, I didn't say anything, but also, what the fuck is happening?
The wall is gone. Don't worry.
You knew it was bad when I saw Kevin go out and come in with Barrett. Then they went out and came in with Nick. Yeah. And then everything just went like, oh, all right. Jack wrote in and said, Duke Nukem Forever.
Yes.
Growing up, I had such fun playing Duke Nukem 3D. There was no way Forever could be good, of course, but boy, was it bad. Only being allowed to carry two guns, which was all the rage at the time, was such a bad design choice. It took away from the best part of the previous game, solving combat puzzles in inventive ways with a huge arsenal of unique weapons.
What an insane game that was.
Yeah.
What a time to be alive.
I never played it. I played the I played the demos at like PAX or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I took the poop out of the toilet or whatever and wrote on the whiteboard and stupid shit like that.
When
and
people
like,
say it's a bad game, that was a bad game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was a wild moment. Of course, if you think back to the original Duke Nukem and what that was and what it stood for in like the 90s and the early 2000s, like the idea of returning to Duke Nukem, even whenever that released in the mid 2000s, was still like, are we sure we want to do that, right? Like, if we were doing that today in 2023, people would immediately be like, that's a dumb idea. Let's never go back to that, right?
Yeah,
but then it even felt like, maybe we don't need more Duke Nukem. So I remember this one well.
And that was,
thinking,
you know,
whoa. What
it was one of those that, like, you know, haunted the halls of IGN of every so often it comes up, but there'd be a news story or whatever of what the fuck's going on with this game.
Yes.
And Jace Hall's trying to do stuff with it. You're like, who the fuck's Jace Hall? You learned about that. Randy Pitchford's involved. Like, what is going on with this shit? You know what I mean? To finally get it out and then have it be such a fucking turd. You're like, all right, whatever.
One in the vein of bringing back things that maybe shouldn't be brought back. A couple years ago, I believe this is the end of 2020, there's this game called Tamarin that came out. And Tamarin, I think I had originally heard of from possibly a Kind of Funny Game Showcase.
I was going to say, this sounds familiar.
Yeah, and I probably talked about it on the show before, too, because the game was basically the spiritual successor of Jet Force Gemini.
Okay.
Jet Force Gemini is like an obscure Rare game that came out for the Nintendo 64 that I fucking love Jet Force Gemini, and I talk about it all the time. But it's a game that gets lost in time because, like, it's a game that also had a lot of issues, but then, you know, like, kind of got overshadowed by other games like Banjo-Kazooie and other of the more popular Rare titles. But Tamarin is a game that is a spiritual successor that, like, came from some of the developers that worked on Jet Force Gemini, and it was their idea of, hey, let's bring back this kind of this thing back. The thing, though, is that Jet Force Gemini is like this space exploration game where you're playing as this trio, this team of space explorers that are like going around and saving the tribals from like the invasion of the like evil villain Mizar, who's coming and taking over the universe.
Man, this kid knows his Jet Force Gemini lore.
He knows
He is in the Duffy right now.
Smokes, bless.
But Tamarin, though, like when I go to the Steam page and read it, right? Explore, leap, and shoot to save your family from the insect invasion. Leap with the agility of Tamarin as you journey into the northern wilderness in a world full of exploration, 3D platforming, and bug splattering action. Right, and the bug splattering action.
How do you spell Tamarin? I'm trying to find gameplay for it.
T A M A R I N. Bug splattering action specifically is very Jet Force Gemini, because like the aliens in that game are like big ants that you're going around and fucking exploding with your guns. Tamarin, the trailer is incredible for it, like, at least the original trailer, because it starts off with this cute little Tamarin creature with like this really cool cute art style, and you're like, oh, what is this? And then it turns into, oh shit, the Tamarin's got a gun and starts like taking out these fucking aliens. And it is such a one for one, oh, this is Jet Force Gemini. But upon playing it, legitimately, I could not believe what I was playing, because they just made Jet Force Gemini and it did not work. Like, it's very much a, hey, this game came out in the late 90s and didn't see a sequel for a reason, right? As much as I love Jet Force Gemini, like playing through this, it's like, whoa. What is, like, I'm playing as this cute creature and I'm blasting away fucking alien. Like, this does not work as what you want it to be. And the gameplay was also like not that great at the end of the day. Like, it was a lot of exploring like environments that weren't interesting to explore. There was a lot wrong with Tamarin, but this is another game that I legitimately cannot believe actually came out.
I want to go to Christian Buckskin Stud. All one word. Spec Ops the Line, because I was expecting a basic third person shooter and it was the. And it was, but the story was something else that had me tripping at the end. Can't believe it came out, but Nolan North was so dope.
Really have that one. I've never seen it. Never
Spec Ops
it.
Line?
Yeah, yeah. I've seen it, but I've like never played it or like experienced it.
Okay, but you know the whole shtick of it, of like why it's
we should do
out,
that for a stream, actually, because I've never played through Spec Ops
the Line. Oh, wow.
Either.
Yeah,
I've heard a lot about it.
Our friend Walt Williams wrote it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Whole thing about like, you know, it seems on the surface like, oh, it's just another rah-rah America shooter.
Okay.
And you get in there and it's totally like a head case of just like, the horrors of war and what are you doing and what's real and what's not and all this shit. It's fucking good.
Okay. Yeah, all right. Yeah. Good to know.
Cameron Davis wrote in for Mortal Kombat versus DC Universe is a game that feels like a fever dream to me. I'm a huge fan of fighting games, and this game was one of my first experiences with them. I love DC, so that's what sold me on getting it, and it was pretty fun when I was a kid. But thinking back on it now makes me just feel like I imagined it. I also feel like I'd probably hate it now if I played it, so it's probably best to just leave it as a memory. I always go back to this is I reviewed this for IGN because wow. Of course I think at the it's we were I was definitely probably you know way off the pulse or whatever. This looks terrible, but it was also the idea that at this point to me at least Mortal Kombat was such a joke, like it had come and gone. I grew up on Mortal Kombat. Don't get me wrong, like Mortal Kombat 1, Mortal Kombat 2, fucking loving it. It was amazing, and then it was that thing where it got so many shitty sequels and so many offshoots and yada, yada, that when I was at the Vegas press conference for Midway when they announced this game, and I got up and gave it a standing ovation.
Get out
of
town.
Because I was a DC fan. I'm like, what the fuck is this? This is ridiculous. So, of course, I did. And then I played it, and, you know, I don't know shit about fighting games or whatever, but I know shit about DC and, like, old Mortal Kombat. And so, like, now the fact that Mortal Kombat's had such a resurgence and is back on top of the fighting games, right, and is, like, Evo and this, and everybody plays it professionally. I look back, I'm like, oh man, I should have never reviewed this game. Like, this, the people were probably taking this way more seriously than I was, but what a ridiculous idea.
Do you remember
idea.
The score you gave it?
No, but it's still up. It was good. I want to say like 7.5, 7.
If you gave it an 8 or above.
I mean, shout out to Injustice.
Now, first off, that's the other thing, too. They came back.
Like, look at what we went to, yeah.
First off, you know. It's a different time. You can't come in with 2023 glasses.
But even at the time, I'm like, Mortal Kombat versus DC, that was not a
good. Did you fucking play it, huh?
I played it once, and I was like, no, thank
you. We got to get you on the sticks, bless you. You're a fighting game poppy now. You never know.
This was one of our go-to fighting games back in college.
Oh, my God.
This and MVC 2 and 3. And this was like definitely like our, we just want to have some dumb fun.
This shows you how stupid IGN reviews used to be. That this is my review of the Collector's Edition. So I guarantee I just went through my verdict here and just put Collector's Edition after it because I would call it out really. God. Mortal Kombat vs. DC Universe Collector's Edition is fun and a solid entry into the franchise, but I doubt many folks will find it entertaining past a rental. Casual players will punch through storyline before burning out after getting stumped by one or two combo challenges, while Mortal Kombat fans will have trouble accepting the toned-down fatalities and somewhat slower gameplay. In short, this game's fun, but its legs probably can't carry it beyond the whole, quote, wow, Batman is fighting Superman first impression.
That's super accurate.
Not bad, not
yeah,
bad.
Yeah, that's really
good. Before I gave it, 9.2.
What the fuck?
No, I'm fucking 7.5.
Okay,
good.
I can accept that. That's
good. Right
was
there
that
in the
collector's
middle.
Edition with a K?
That was collector's edition. Of course it was.
Solid, yeah. Solid.
Come on, of course text. It was. You think Ed Boon's going to let a C go out? Ed Boon's not letting a C go out of that goddamn place. What else I got in here for you? A whole bunch of people wrote in, and you're seeing, you know, the ones you would expect, I'd say, right? Tony Hawk Pro Skater 5 is on here. Insomniac Spider-Man. MLB The Show on Xbox. A big deal, right?
Amazing.
There,
obviously, yeah, that was right. A special one.
Of course, Final Fantasy VII Remake. Dan Pine says, after a 23-year gap, they finally did the damn thing and remade Final Fantasy VII, and ... it's good. Jelly Roll says, I can't believe Dreams came out ... and maybe you shouldn't have. there's a whole bunch of good ones. Last Guardian's getting the call out there. I found this one interesting. KDG wrote in.
KDG.
Said, my first thought was a negative example, but I want to take the question in a positive way instead.
Love that.
The Witcher 3. I played Witcher 2 and loved it, but I'd never really vibed with the janky open worlds of Bethesda games. So when the first trailer for Witcher 3 was shown, I was wowed and very excited, but also worried it would feel like Skyrim. The fact that it came out without any bugs, parentheses, that I can remember, I mean, Roach was warping on top all sorts of horse roofs, but it doesn't matter, such rich stories in Gwent, so that I could play it for hundreds of hours and really believe the world was fully fleshed out, was amazing. I think the combat is still great, parentheses, whatever Barrett says, and we got two amazing DLCs too. I feel similarly about the prospect of a Witcher 4, not really believing it'll be possible to make such a personal dream a game again, but I hope so.
Wow.
Shout out to The Witcher 3.
One that I'll throw out there is coming off of the playing Horizon, the DLC. Horizon Zero Dawn. Like, the fact that the Killzone Studio made this open world action RPG that has
it.
This really cool setting and like absolutely crushed it. As I've been playing the DLC the last few days, I have been like reminded of, wow, this is a really impressive game. Like, I can't believe they're able to pull this thing off.
Horizon did get a shout out from David, who wrote and said, I feel like the world and story were tailor-made for me, but also the fact this came from the Killzone studio was unbelievable.
There you go.
They had shout a cool game in Killzone, too. Like, shout out to Killzone. Killzone was cool.
Killzone 2 was
Killzone
good.
Was colorful.
Oh, you mean
bright.
T-O-O? Or are you calling out Killzone 2?
Yeah, Killzone, like, as
Killzone
well.
As well.
Killzone is dope. Like, Killzone was one of those where it's like, I would turn that on my PlayStation and be like, yeah, I'm having a good time with this. Could have had more.
No.
This is a conversation for a different thing, but, like, that was maybe the one time where I felt envious of the Xbox, where I would boot up either a Killzone or what was the Resistance? And I'm like, these aren't hitting the way I want them to hit.
And Mag.
Like, I could use a Halo here.
Booting up Mag. Nobody's booting up massive action game. Hey, guess what? You need to take orders from this kid. He's 12 years old, but he's outranks you, so you have to take orders on the battlefield. What? I don't think so, sir. This is a video game. Ladies and gentlemen, that's another episode of Remember Blank. Thank you for watching. Currently, we're looking for input on Remember Your Favorite OMG Moment and Remember Your Ultimate Video Game Bug. So get on over to kindoffunny.com/rememberblank to be part of the nostalgia. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.